Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, that's the problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no, it does not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch us one time and last for a lifetime and never let go till...
Good morning. My name's Robert Townsend, and I'm an active user of the library system here in Pensacola. Excuse me. The council appoints a member to the West Florida Public Library Board of Governance. And I ask this council rhetorically, what is the purpose of that board if its unanimous professional recommendation can be disregarded?
You know, I think Robert Townsend means that obviously that's why you need to listen to the recommendations of the Board of Library Governance. But if you listen carefully, what does he say? If you're not going to listen to the recommendations, then what's the point of having the board? Well, one answer is you should listen to the recommendations. The other answer is you shouldn't have the board. And I think I am suspicious. I'll have to ask Wes Moreno the next time I have him on. I have not asked officially anybody yet, but I definitely think there is a chance that what you wind up getting as a result of all this library director nonsense is that you just don't have a library board. I think that's a real possibility as an outcome.
When a credentialed oversight board unanimously identifies one candidate and that recommendation is overridden without a transparent explanation grounded in objective qualifications, public confidence in the process suffers.
Because, look, you know, I think Wes or the Board of County Commissioners or all of them might say, I mean, what is the point of having this board if we're not going to do what they say? Maybe we just didn't have the board. It's creating too much drama.
The Board of Governance was created to provide accountability.
And by the way, you don't have, like, a board for the roads department. You know, you don't have a board for the jail. You know, you might have people who you have different boards for different things, but every department in the county does not have a board. So, you know, it's a fair question to ask, like, do you need to have a board for which ones, if any of them? And, you know, why is the library district so unique that it needs to have a board of governance as opposed to just having a director and staff?
The Board of Governance was created to provide accountability and oversight for the library system. As part of that responsibility, it's authorized to recommend a library director. After a deliberate process, the board unanimously recommended Bradley Vinson, a candidate with more than 20 years of library experience, 13 years within this library system, a master's in library and information services, and prior experience serving as a chair of the Board of Governance Excel.
And, of course, you had Wes Moreno gave his explanation for all of this that, you know, he thought that the Library Board of Governance was a source of drama, that they treated him and his staff very poorly, that he was, you know, he's responsible for the outcomes of the library, not them, and so he hired the person that he is the most comfortable with getting those outcomes. But I do think, you know, be careful what you ask. You know, be careful how you phrase your argument. By the way, John, how do you like the new stager?
Oh, I love it.
You know, I have resisted.
I love it.
I have not. I have stagers for all these different governments, right? You know, Milton, Pensacola, Santa Rosa County. I'd never come up with one for Escambia County because I could never find the one that is like, that really lands. You know, that's really on target. And because people suggested all kinds of things. You should use the Benny Hill music. You should use the Family Feud music. You should use the, there's all kinds of, you know, why can't we be friends? You know, whatever. Okay. But finally, with the drama over the Children's Trust, Mel Luna, the library board, all the things that happened at the last meeting, I thought, it's time. I need to make one. So.
And you did. You did a great job, buddy.
All right.
I'm proud of you.
Another issue. You remember we talked about this with the TPO meeting and the... There were two issues that came up at the TPO meeting. One was who got to be the next chairman, and the other was the prioritization of the various roads projects, right? And Wes Moreno had even told us, I asked him, you know, what do you think about that choice to, you know, rearrange the roads projects? He's like, some of my board members did not love this. I'm paraphrasing. And that may come up again. Well, Charles Krupnik, who represents Pretty Okey Associates, and he usually talks about beach access and Pretty Okey condo stuff, but he said about Sorrento Road, because that is directly, those folks use that all the time.
I wanted to speak a little bit about the recent TPO decision that lowered the priority of widening Sorrento Road between, up to Blue Angel Parkway. I'm sure many in Southwest Escambia County and on to Perdido Key and even in Alabama were disappointed with that decision, because there certainly are legitimate safety and traffic concerns with the road as it is now.
Now, I want to say Charles has got this wrong, okay, as a factual matter. Sorrento Road didn't change. It was five before, it was five after. What changed is the other three around it. So Highway 90 moved up from 7 to 4. Highway, I get the order of these things wrong, but it's like 9 Mile moved down and the connector moved down. Okay, but Sorrento Road didn't change. So he's just factually wrong about that. But I understand it was complicated. And I also understand that, you know, the perception was that Sorrento Road got deprioritized because another project got moved in front of it. Well, the other project got moved in front of it, where there had already been another project in front of it, which got moved behind it. So did it get changed? Didn't it get changed? In any case, Steve Stroberger and Mike Kohler, who, you know, their districts are the most directly connected to all that. That's where Sorrento Road is.
Thanks, Charles, for the words. We're going to rectify that at the next meeting. We're going to change that. Thank you.
Going to rectify it. It's like, my brain just is always connecting weird things. John, are you a Tron? Are you a Tron fan at all?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you remember the? You remember the original, right?
Correct.
Do you remember the Tron Legacy, the new one? Did you see the new-ish one? Not Tron Ares, but the new-ish one that has, you know, the Disney one that came out like 10 years ago or something. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember what they always said when they were sorting the programs right before they'd send them to the games or to be changed when they're in the recognizer?
Oh. Rectify. Rectify.
That's where your brain went?
Yeah. No, 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 not games.
Rectify. So,
yes. I hear Steve Stroberger say rectify, and I think, Tron Legacy, obviously. Okay, back to the point. Mike Kohler, District 2.
Madam Chair, if I can comment on that, too. I know that Commissioner Berry's the chair of that board. They had a hard time getting a quorum. That road's broken up into three different sections. Two of them did not change their ranking.
Actually, all three did not change their ranking.
We were fighting for Defense Coalition dollars, learning about them in D.C., which will probably bring hundreds of millions of dollars to District 2. And I know this affects Steve, but I agree with Steve. We will bring this back up. But I also need to make sure everyone understands. It's a state road.
I love the, he doesn't say it this way, but, we will bring this back up at the TPO, right? Because they voted on it when four Escambia commissioners weren't present. Which is silly, dumb, manipulative, misguided. You know, I mean, yes, it's a publicly announced meeting, and yes, everybody knew the schedule, but also the staff knew that four people weren't going to be there. Several people weren't going to. They knew that Colton Wright from Santa Rosa wasn't going to be there and still decided to move ahead with this. Remember what Colton said? I'm going to have a meeting with the executive director. There's a lot of tension behind the scenes right now, especially on the TPO between the ECRC board and the TPO and some of the commissioners. And anyway, I'm just telling you this. Put a note on that one that's coming back. For several issues are coming back on related to the TPO. I know Mayor Lindsay wrote a big long, God, it's a Russian novel, explaining why she was right and everybody else doesn't understand what's going on. I said what I said. you know, you heard what Colton Wright said, what he said, and I do not think that she presented all the facts accurately. But in any case, having more to do with the selection of a Santa Rosa or a Scambia versus Santa Rosa chairman for the board. Anyway, back to Mike Kohler.
And I also need to make sure everyone understands, it's a state road. None of these roads are appropriated. They're ranked. So there's a big difference between appropriation and ranking. So one spot, probably when they do 3 to 5 projects a year, probably isn't a big deal. The other two from Gulf Beach, from Sorrento down to Fairfield and Fairfield to Navy has not changed. Thank you.
And that's exactly right. That, again, I said this before, I'll say it again. Moving from 7 to 4 doesn't really matter. Moving to 4 to 6 or whatever, you know, 5 up or down, which you didn't move, doesn't really matter. The key, it feels like progress. You know, it's the illusion of progress. It's the illusion of significance. That's why, you know, Kerry Smith getting it up from 7 to 4 doesn't, it's not really a big accomplishment for Highway 90 widening. Or even Heather, if she'd have gotten her way to just get it to 5 and then Kerry, you know, like, what are you doing? I've been working on this for years. I say 4. Okay, anyway, none of that really matters. It's more of a feel good. You can brag about how you got it done, but it didn't really get anything done. You know, there's no money attached to it. There's no shovels going in the ground as a result of it being a 4 or a 7. Especially because not even all the top three are funded, as Stephen Barry is going to point out. One of the top projects on there, the Pine Forest Road widening, is still, you know, waiting on like $100 million worth of funding.
Thank you, Mike. And, you know, additionally, the number one priority in the TPO for that we have the ability to set is Pine Forest Road, that bottleneck portion of Pine Forest Road, and has been for 12 years. And is still not funded.
Yeah, that's I-10 to 9 Mile, right? That's the key choke point, which if you've ever driven that area, it's okay at not rush hour. It is a catastrophe. It is a complete cluster at rush hour, right? Similar to, like, it's even worse than Palafox. You know Palafox by, you know, Oakfield, like that vicinity, or Burgess and Oakfield and, you know, the light, okay? It's worse than that. And at least that's getting worked on, right? Because you're getting the expansion, renovation because of the I-10 widening. Anyway, back to Stephen Barry.
So just to so that everybody has some expectations, some adjusted expectations as to what those where those rankings matter. And DOT did make a point of, you know, talking about the improvements and the millions of dollars that have been spent in that area, and they want to give a little bit of time to see how the numbers show the safety improvements that have been done thus far. But you know, until we get several hundred million dollars for that portion of Pine Forest Road, nothing on the list is being funded, so it's kind of moot.
Yeah, so this is a two-part response, and I think he's right about both parts. Number one, the staff, if you recall, had explained, I didn't go into it a lot, but the staff had basically said, well, on Sorrento, we've made some changes. Let's see how they work out, you know? We haven't done the whole project, obviously, but let's see what we have done, how well it works. And number two, you're arguing about nothing because no money's going to that until we fix Pine Forest, and Pine Forest is ahead of that in the project priority. So, you know, 7, 4, 53, it doesn't matter. You know, it's easy to get worked up about a thing that you really shouldn't get worked up about. Anyway, so I thought it was just interesting that, you know, the response, not surprising, from the Escambia County Commissioners for the first comments in public about this was, oh, hell no! You know, we're going to fix that problem. All right. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Sure. I don't know. Fine. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-478-6430 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-478-6430. That's 800-478-6430. What do you have to lose? Call 800-478-6430. Again, 800-478-6430. 6430.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling. including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid, installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages, keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
So what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
The following presentation has been closed captioned for the hearing impaired.
Funny because it's radio.
Yeah, once I got it, I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Andrew, 526 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. This is kind of interesting. Do you remember, John, a couple of months ago, we reported that the Nimitz was being sent out on its last deployment and was going to be decommissioned, right? And,
right.
You know, it's the oldest serving aircraft carrier. It's got 51, I think, years now in the service. Of course, it's the name for the class, you know, the Nimitz class aircraft carriers. Well, the Nimitz had gotten extended for about a year until, I think it's 10 months officially, until 2027. So it's not quite yet being decommissioned. You know, maybe you don't decommission aircraft carrier in the middle of, like, over-deploying them, as we're doing right now. But also, it has been, it's been sailing around the South American, you know, South American peninsula, heading up towards Virginia, where it's going to eventually come to rest at Norfolk and then be decommissioned. Did I say discommissioned? I don't know.
Yeah.
Decommissioned. Anyway, but if you know your geography between, say, Argentina, or, you know, Chile, Brazil, and Virginia, what's in between those two things? Well, where do you think that it's deployed right now? When it's had its decommissioning extended? The Caribbean. You remember how we had an aircraft carrier group deployed to the Caribbean before Venezuela and the, you know, capture of Nicolas Maduro? We now have an aircraft carrier group deployed to the Caribbean. And what's going on in the Caribbean right now? Who did we just designate as a, you know, an offender? The Castro. Elder Castro?
Cuba.
Yeah. So now he's not in charge anymore, but still. Also, remaining slash joining. So you have the USS Gridley and the USS Patuxent are there. The Carrier Air Wing 17 is there. That goes along with the carrier. You have several Navy vessels that had remained in the area. Many left after the January attack on Venezuela, but several remain. That includes two Iwo Jima Amphibious Ready Group. The Iwo Jima Amphibious Ready Group and the 22nd MEU Marine Expeditionary Unit. So the Lake Erie Missile Cruiser, that's Arleigh Burke class, and the Littoral Combat Ship, the USS Billings. So we have a naval force in the Caribbean that is larger than almost every other world power's navy. I mean, if you take out probably Russia and China, maybe Great Britain, we have more power in the Caribbean right now than any other country has navy. So it just makes you wonder what they're going to be doing.
Oh, it's vacation time. It's
just cruising.
Yeah.
Just going to Bimini. Checking out some Jamaican jerk chicken.
Yeah, why not?
They're going to be snorkeling on the, you know, Grand Cayman. That's all that is.
Yeah, that's
nothing
it.
Nothing to think about.
Yeah.
Or
nothing to see here.
And I don't know what or means, but, you know, or because, you know, Cuba's in the middle of an energy crisis. Cuba has been, you know, targeted by the administration as sanctioned to not be able to receive any oil from anywhere. So you just, you know, be aware. Also, in the state of Florida, they solved the budget. They did it. They finally got it done.
Yay.
Yeah.
Whoopee.
I read the details on this. I'm not sure that there's a lot here to report to you that you're going to care a lot about. One thing they did that you might care about is they did not separate the funding for regular school and the voucher program. Remember, that had been kind of an argument, is we ought to have these two things in two separate piles. They didn't really do that. Several counties have seen, almost all counties in the state of Florida, have seen drop in their, you know, number of students attending Escambia, Santa Rosa. You know, I don't know what the number is in Santa Rosa. I know Escambia has. Union and Glades actually saw school districts put on emergency administration because their enrollment decline was so high, and those are small counties. So, you know, jeopardizing their solvency. So, you know, it could be worse. Your school district could be going bankrupt. $425 million for the Rural and Family Lands Program. That's to pay for development rights so that you can permanently put agricultural land in agricultural use. So, a couple of things. We'll talk about that on Friday with Brian Jenkins.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. U.S. military bases in the Middle East are no longer safe. That's straight from the Iran supreme leader. It comes following strikes by American forces.
U.S. Central Command giving an update. Spokesman Timothy Hawkins saying, quote, U.S. forces conducted self-defense strikes in southern Iran today to protect our troops from threats posed by Iranian forces. Targets included missile launch sites and Iranian boats attempting to emplace mines.
Fox's Carly Shimkus reporting. This taking place while President Trump is still trying to strike a peace deal with Iran. Voters will head to the polls this morning in Texas to choose a Republican candidate for U.S. Senator. Incumbent John Cornyn hopes voters send him to November, where he could possibly win a fifth term, while Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is endorsed by President Trump. The winner faces Democrat James Tallarico in November. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 75 degrees with cloudy skies. We'll get a full look at our forecast. That's up here in just a few minutes. A Pace man is behind bars after allegedly becoming aggressive and making physical contact with fire department personnel when they were called out to an emergency on Sunday. The Pace Fire Department says Curtis Faircloth attacked one of its crew members while they were on that scene. The Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office had responded to assist with the arrest. Faircloth is being held in the Santa Rosa County Jail without bond. Well, a Santa Rosa County Sheriff's canine has a new layer of protection, and it's all thanks to community generosity. Sheriff Bob Johnson says local businesses have been very supportive of his canine unit. Canine Dart recently got a new combined anti-stab and bulletproof vest. That was donated by local businesses.
We have businesses and companies that donate so much to us, not only things like bulletproof vests for dogs, but actually dogs we have purchased because of donations from different entities throughout the county. So we're pretty blessed.
And Johnson does say that vest is deployed selectively, generally put on a dog before sending it into a high-risk situation rather than worn on routine patrol due to its heat and weight. Johnson does say the combined anti-stab and bulletproof protection is important for the dogs because a bad guy is just as likely to use a sharp object as a firearm. Well, a tornado is responsible for some damage in Tampa. The National Weather Service confirming an EF0 tornado Sunday night in Bayport. Apparently the winds there reached about 80 miles an hour as it traveled, about a third of a mile, 75 yards wide. The state budget proposal contains good news for HIV patients. The AIDS Healthcare Foundation announcing yesterday that lawmakers reversed earlier cuts to the AIDS Drug Assistance Program. The deal restores eligibility to 400% of the federal poverty level and provides $75 million for the program. It also caps the program at 21,000 people. The AIDS Healthcare Foundation opposes that cap, but says that it would keep Floridians with HIV on the medication that could keep them alive. L.A. Lake County veteran is a rock star. That's what Lynn Keel said about her dad yesterday. Daniel Keel, the 103-year-old, one of the original Tuskegee Airmen, one of the few that's still living. He was in Claremont yesterday for a memorial ceremony at the Arts and Recreation Center. Daniel posed for photos and got two standing ovations. And Lynn says that her dad enjoys the legacy that continues on and enjoys knowing that young people still know the story of the Tuskegee Airmen. Well, thrill seekers are going to love a new attraction headed to the Naval Aviation Museum.
The Naval Aviation Museum is giving aviation enthusiasts an opportunity to fly in formation with the Blue Angels. The museum's new Fly with the Blues interactive simulator opens this Friday. You'll fly a full-scale replica cockpit of an F-A-18 Super Hornet. This, by the way, is the only ride of its kind in the world. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
And thank you, Chris. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms today, high near 82 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Wednesday, 40% chance of rain, high near 82. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Heading into Thursday, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 82 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
75 cloudy skies, your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Come are we with your money now? Chinese tech giant Huawei has touted a new approach to developing advanced semiconductors despite U.S. sanctions. Huawei said it developed a new engineering approach called logic folding to manufacture its Kirin smartphone chips this fall. The breakthrough comes as NVIDIA faces U.S. export restrictions in China. The European Union is reportedly planning to fine Alphabet's Google a high triple-digit billion-dollar amount as part of an antitrust investigation. Germany's Handelsblatt newspaper reports that the decision is nearing completion and is expected to be announced before the summer break, adding it would be the largest penalty the EU has imposed for a breach of its Digital Markets Act. A Samsung Electronics union representing the conglomerate's consumer electronics workers said it has asked a South Korean court to block a vote on a pay deal that primarily benefits their colleagues in the company's chip divisions. Futures are moderately higher, with all eyes on the U.S. and Iran for peace negotiations. That's your money now.
Paying your Pensacola energy bill just got easier. Pensacola Energy's new online bill payment system gives customers a more convenient way to manage their account anytime from anywhere. Once registered, you can view your bill, make payments, save payment information, review account details, and access improved online features designed to make your bill paying simpler. Get started today by visiting PensacolaEnergy.com. Pensacola Energy, we are your energy.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, 5:39 here on a Tuesday. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, as we typically do on Monday mornings. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So you have a canine who got some new gear, new garb, right?
Yeah, a vest. And we are pretty blessed in Santa Rosa County. We have businesses and companies that donate so much to us, not only things like bulletproof vests for dogs, but actually dogs we have purchased because of donations from different entities throughout the county. So we're pretty blessed.
And this was DART, got what, a new anti-stab and bulletproof vest, is that right?
Yes, correct. And, you know, people are very concerned about our canine unit, and it shows when we go out for displays and stuff, you know, for different events. The canines always get all the attention, and I can't blame them. They're cute, so, you know.
And they do the best demos. Their demos are a lot more entertaining, that's for sure.
Yes, they are.
Sort of a practical question, I guess. Your officers obviously wear vests, but my very probably out of date now knowledge about bulletproof material is that the Kevlar is fantastic at stopping the bullets. It is almost useless at stopping a knife. So is this a dual material vest? And then I assume that the vests that y'all wear are that same, like they're just the Kevlar, right?
Yeah, and the reason we don't wear the anti-stab as well, it's a lot heavier.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially in the summertime in Florida, as you know, it gets just brutally hot. So, the canines, though, and we only put them on the canines in certain situations as well. So you have a barricaded guy or something, we're sending a dog in, you know he's armed, put the vest on the dog, send him in, and, do it that way. So, it comes in handy for certain situations, but they don't wear them constantly while they're on patrol.
Because it's hot and heavy for them, just like it would be for anybody, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So out when it's a specific risk scenario, and also because, you know, a bad guy is as likely, I assume, to use a sharp object against a dog as to use a gun, or at least more common maybe. And so that's the thing you got to protect against, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so our deputies in the jail will wear stab resistant vests.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because they're in air conditioning all the time, so they're, it's voluntary for them, but they, some of them do wear them in the jail, so.
Yeah,
and you don't have to worry about getting shot there, but they can, you know, fashion knives and things out of certain things, so.
Well, I'm glad I asked, because that makes perfect sense that in the jail where you're not nearly as at risk of firearms, but obviously more at risk of, you know, some homemade instrument or something like that. You also have a... I always think about the number of jobs that cops have to do. You know, they have to direct traffic, they have to arrest bad guys, they have to do investigations, they have to do interviews, they have to, you know, broker marital disputes, a very common thing that you have to do.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently now you at least have one or two deputies who are officially cow wranglers. What happened near Jay?
Well, a cow got out and, they use their patrol cars and eventually their bodies to get a hold of the cow and secure it until the owner could come get it. And that happens on a regular basis up in Jay. And what a lot of people don't know is back in the day, and I think he still has them, there was a guy in Milton who raised buffalo. And on occasion, we would have to, the loose buffalo off Berry Hill Drive in Milton. So that could get really interesting.
That's awesome. So in this case, it was like kind of a hit and run, right? Like somebody hit the cow with their car and it was damaged or something?
Yeah, damaged the car. And I think the cow was actually okay. So
that's funny. Yeah. So I don't expect that you'll be issuing in a rope and lasso anytime soon as a standard issue or training on it. Probably.
No, we're not doing any of that. It happens on a semi-regular basis. So the guys that work Jay are used to it because that's normally where it occurs at.
Gotcha. So. Okay, now this is, again, because when I start to asking questions, my brain starts to get to going. And so here's where I'm at. I know that your deputies are not running out of the car with lassos on, but do the mounteds carry lassos?
No, they don't either. Oh. And they're not out on a regular basis. So,
okay, they're not patrolling on horseback.
Right.
Okay.
Right. They're more ceremonial. So.
I just got a little bit of Yellowstone nostalgia on, and I was thinking, you know what would be kind of a cool story is if Santa Rosa Sheriff's deputies deploy with a taser, a gun, a baton, cuffs, and a lasso. But no, because I'm thinking of y'all riding down the street, some perpetrators running from the bank, and you wrangle them up hog time. I don't know. That's what my brain does. It's a weird thing.
Not going to happen anytime soon.
Memorial Day, been fairly quiet out at the beach. Everything working okay?
Yeah, it is. It is. And, we're not as crowded as Pensacola Beach or Destin. Most of the people who want to go and party and do that kind of stuff go there because on Navarre Beach, we only have two bars. So as opposed to Pensacola Beach and Destin, they have,
plenty.
I don't know how many, but a ton.
Yeah.
So we're pretty blessed in that aspect as well. Mostly families come out to our beach to, you know, hang out with the kids, that kind of thing.
I did want to ask you about traffic to the beach because the TPO had a meeting recently and I reported on how their engineer, their advisor basically, had said that, you know, Pensacola Beach is just keeps growing every year. It's ridiculous. We got like 66 out of 80 weekend days last year that were 20,000 car days. But he said that at Navarre Beach that really, though traffic is high, of course, on beach weekends, the traffic has been consistent, that the total number of 7,500 car days, because the two-lane road, a little different metric, but the total number of 7,500 car days has been, you know, pretty steady around 38 to 40, and that ever since the traffic light went in, though it's not pleasurable to go out and get stuck in traffic, it's actually worked pretty well, and it hasn't been getting worse. You're, you know, eyes on, talk to your deputies all the time. What's your perception of that?
Yeah, and it does stay pretty consistent. And like you said, it's a two-lane road. So a lot of people opt to go different ways. You can get to Navarre Beach by going through Pensacola Beach. So the families from Escambia County and, you know, parts of Alabama will go over the bridge there and then take the National Seashore to get to Navarre Beach. So, yeah, I can see it staying pretty consistent, but that doesn't mean that it's not packed. If you come out like on Memorial Day to Navarre Beach, when the weather's good, you're going to sit there for a while getting over the bridge. And it backs up on 98 as well before you get to the bridge. So, it can get pretty sporty at times, but, yeah, it's pretty much staying, you know, level.
Is it better since the traffic light?
I think it is. I think the flow of the traffic is better since the traffic light. Not obviously, it doesn't affect the volume of it, but the flow is better.
Okay. Well, which is the goal. That's definitely the goal.
Yeah.
All right. Last question I have for you. You're old enough to know this, and so I'm just going to ask, do you know what today is? What big day?
I do, and a lot of people get Memorial Day and Veterans Day confused. And Memorial Day, obviously, we're honoring the fallen, the people who gave their lives in the military to keep us free. And Veterans Day is just honoring all veterans of the military. So, yeah, today is Memorial Day, and a very somber day, especially for those families who have lost people in the wars. And, you know, we pray for them.
So, obviously, Memorial Day is front and center. I actually had a different thing in mind, and I asked the question very poorly. There's another historical day that is today. And the only reason I ask is because, first of all, do you know how many years it's been since Star Wars came out?
Yeah, it's 50, right?
49 today.
49? Right?
49. Okay. Yeah. And my one question for you, Bob, is are you a Star Wars fan, a Star Wars sorta, or a Star Wars never?
Well, I went to see Star Wars on the opening day.
Oh, wow. 49 years ago today. Okay.
Yeah. But now, here we go. I have not seen another movie since in the Star Wars trilogy or whatever it is now. So
it's the trilogy or whatever it is now. Oh,
it's just not a fan.
This is, okay, I know people who have not seen a single Star Wars movie. And I don't really understand that, but I kind of sort of that may. But you've seen just the one time, the one, and never ever again.
Yeah. Yes. Correct.
Well, I just don't know. I'm going to have to rethink our whole relationship now because I don't understand that.
Well, if it helps at all, my son and daughter, my son's 35 and my daughter's 30, they both are Star Wars freaks. So if that helps at all. So.
Could we not find a little better word than freaks?
Oh, no. They know everything about all the movies, every single one. They can tell you all the characters and, you know,
Santa Rosa. Yeah. So Bob Johnson is not, he's not the guy you want to buy a lightsaber for Christmas, even though he did go see on opening day A New Hope episode 4. That's fair. I'm glad I asked. Okay.
Yeah.
Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for the information. Thanks for keeping us safe. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. No worries. Take care, Andrew.
Oh, and I will ask a follow-up next time. I want to find more. I talked to him a little bit about this. I think I know the answer, but I'll let him say it in his words.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, judging by what I know of cop humor, though, I may have just caused him a problem because my bet is that from now on, the number one thing that he will be given as gifts at Christmas or birthdays by his fellow police officers is
Star Wars
stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
mini figs, action figs, anything related to Star Wars, because that's how cops do, right? That would be funny. Hey, if you are wondering whether you need a whole roof or a roof replacement or a roof repair or in anything, you know, maybe your roof is basically fine. The point is, call Quality Roofing Solutions. They'll take care of you on this. They'll help you figure it out. Now, about 90% of their business is whole roof replacements. About 10% is repairs. But they'll help you talk you know, through that. And the reason Brian Ward started this company 20 years ago, 10,000 roofs ago, a 4.9 rating on Google, is because he wanted a company that just, you know, made people feel good about what they're getting. A lot of times in, you know, the trades, people feel like they take advantage of you or they prey on the fact that you don't know enough and don't ask the right questions and they condescend to you and like all that stuff. That's really not how it should be done. And his idea was, let's just do it right. Let's just do it the way people expect. Let's treat people well. Let's answer their questions. Let's not treat them like they're dumb. You know, let's treat them with respect, like, you know, our customers, our friends, our fellow citizens. So, for example, they have a lifetime warranty for workmanship on their roofs. They will, you know, they do all kinds of little things like serving the community, of course, you know, our gateway, local youth sports, financial literacy education, big on local youth sports, quite a bit on that. But also they'll just talk to you and help you figure out, well, you know, what makes the most sense? What's it going to cost now? What's it going to cost later if you do a partial now and a full later? You know, just all that stuff, okay? Give them a call, include them on your list and talk to them, get a quote from them and others, and then you decide, okay? QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. Let's have a rendezvous. This week, Gretch Lyles and the Modern Eldorados take the stage at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, bringing country and rock and roll the way it used to be to Bands on the Beach. Plus, don't miss out on shopping at the Gulfside Market. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after storms.
The color of this pen is red.
I know this is your favorite Public Enemy song, John.
Well, you didn't ask for my opinion.
Now, you know what I say about that? I can't do nothing for you, man. See? 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I've got a couple of interesting Ukraine war updates. You've heard in the news that we're back, you know, involved in some kind of fighting with Iran. We've, you know, we say defended our own ships against their attacks. Okay, I have largely kind of given up on trying to give you day-by-day reporting on Iran just because, you know, tell me when there's an actual deal in place that's been signed and what we're doing and what the deal. Otherwise, it's all just this kind of ongoing drama of trying to follow the conversation when everybody's lying. And I don't mean that as a criticism. I just mean it's true that everybody, you know.
It's like a soap opera.
Yeah, you don't know who's saying what or what they mean or anything else. So, meanwhile, Ukraine. You haven't heard a lot about that lately. There's some interesting developments in Ukraine that I wanted to highlight for you. First of all, we've been talking about AI and the development of weapon systems, and we've seen Ukraine be the front line in innovative use of things, right? Like drone ships taking out the Russian fleet and all that in Black Sea. You've got a report here, and This is at Defense One, which is a pretty good website. They say that a single remote-controlled Ukrainian ground combat vehicle, which if you look at it, you know the EOD robots, okay? And then they'd have the little gripper arm on them, and they drive them up to the bomb and try to defuse it. You know, the one that's got like a tread on it. It's small. It's maybe like 3 feet by 3 feet, kind of that vicinity. That's what this is like, except that it's got a machine gun mounted on it with a, you know, it looks like maybe it's belt fed to a reservoir down below that would hold, I don't know, thousands of rounds of ammunition, I'm guessing. The robot is called a Droid TW-12.7, armed with a machine gun. Operator is about 10 clicks away, and this defended a key intersection under constant adversary attack for 45 days by itself against the Russians. You say, good Lord. Yeah, really, good Lord. You know, the old pillbox concept, except in this case it's a droid or a robot remote operated instead of being men in a bunker. Drones in the air provided continuous surveillance for the operation. They detected enemy movement and transmitted information in real time. Once the threat was confirmed, the operator received the signal, engaged the target with the machine gun. How can you not flank a single robot in a 45 days? I don't know, but that's what they're saying. Defense analyst who was first reporting the operation, Olena Kersenivskaya, writes that you... Well, I don't know. It's Kersenivskaya.
I wanted you to at least try.
Kersenivskaya.
Very good.
It's the best I got.
Yeah.
Writes that Ukrainian ground robots now perform 80% of logistics tasks on the front lines, from carrying explosives to the enemy positions, evacuating the wounded. So it's not just that the robot gun is out there defending, it's that the other robots are transiting ammo to the robot gun and then, I guess, reloading it. I mean, I don't know. This is a whole new future for warfare, right? The unmanned ground vehicles cost $10,000 to $30,000. They're going to start using more of them. We're expected to soon see the first encounter between Ukrainian ground drones and Russian ground drones, you know, robot fighting it out on the streets. So battery charge is a major factor. There's never enough of it. The main solution is either install higher capacity batteries or equip the platform with 2 to 4 batteries, you know, ammunition, same problem. There's never enough. That was note number one. Note number two, Putin is losing. It's not been a lot in the news, apparently, but... how many Russian soldiers have died in Ukraine? John, you want to take a stab at this? Just for perspective, what, the U.S. lost almost 60,000 in the whole of Vietnam. I want to say 350,000 in World War II for us, somewhere in that vicinity. Okay, you want to take a stab at how many soldiers Russia has lost just in the, what, 3 years, 2 years of Ukraine?
25,000.
1 million.
What?
1 million soldiers have, I'm sorry, that includes dead or wounded. I thought that was dead only. Also, they've lost about 116 square kilometers of net territory recently. So Ukrainian first-person viewer drones are destroying Russian armor and infantry before they can consolidate. It's a war that just won't end, and they are recently losing territory. For 5 straight months, they've lost more soldiers than they can replace. Mm-hmm. 5th consecutive month, losing more than they can replace. Kiev is targeting 50,000 Russian casualties a month. Remember, all of Vietnam for us was, you know, almost 60,000. It's 58,000. Which, by the way, that number had gone up. My memory was 55, but I went and checked it. So it's gone up over the years as we, you know, believe that people were dead and not POW. Okay, so, 50,000 a month is what they say they're losing. And they can't even recruit that many while they're controlling information in their own country and telling people the war is going swimmingly and, you know, controlling social media and everything else. Ukraine's defense minister, Myakyalo Fedorov, said Kiev is targeting 50,000 Russian casualties a month. In early 06, SpaceX cut Russia's pirated Starlink access. Ukrainian forces advanced 10 to 12 kilometers in 2 southern operations over the course of a few weeks because the Russians couldn't communicate with each other anymore. The Russians attempted to reconnect with rooftop antennas, exposed their positions, and all got destroyed. Command and control. Russians don't have communication. The Kremlin's nationwide telegram crackdown, intended to suppress bad news to the public, has prevented frontline Russians from communicating with each other. That's what they had been using as telegram. So, yeah, in the past few months, Kiev has managed to inflict severe casualties on Russia to the point where it's now the 5th month. Moscow has suffered more losses in personnel than it can replace by basically conscripting people. The number officially announced by Ukraine's defense minister this past Tuesday. In early 26, SpaceX cut their access. Within weeks, the Ukrainians had advanced significantly because the Russians couldn't communicate with each other. Anyway, just it's kind of a pay attention moment, and you know, wanted to let you know what's going on in Ukraine, which we haven't heard a lot about recently. It's aside from the what we're studying and what we're learning from applied warfare in the modern era with, you know, drones and communications, electronic attack, and all that kind of stuff. What does it mean long term? Well, it cannot be good for Putin, and that would be fantastic to see him go away.